Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the fifth chapter. A couple weeks ago, we were so blessed to live stream, and I did Pastor Diego Mesa do such a good job on Father's Day weekend. Man, that guy, I tell you, he's been a father to me in the faith, and I'm just so grateful for his love and his influence. And he was so excited to preach to you guys, and he said you guys were great. And so thank you guys for giving him an amen. And then last week, we had Pastor Paul Ogando back in the book of Romans. And man, what a message. What a message. We were just talking in the back about this. And I was like, man, when he broke out Hosea, I was like, oh, dang. You know, like, whoa. And definitely we could go. And I was excited to get back into Romans. And I thought, man, maybe I'm going to go back to those verses. Because you think about a verse like that, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. I tell you, when I read that, it just makes my heart happy because, my goodness, I was a sinner. And yet, I'm now a saint, saved by the Savior of all. Jesus Christ came, and he got a hold of my life, and he took me from death to life. My goodness, he raised me up. He set my feet upon the rock, and it was nothing that I deserved, nothing that I could have done to earn it. No, it was only by the grace of our Lord that I am what I am today, that I am standing saved. But as I was reading the scriptures, I thought, am I going to go back to that? Is there more meat on that bone? What do I want to do? But God said something to me. He said, there's so much more. In fact, that's the title of this weekend's message, if you want to write it down. But I need you guys to do something. I need you to remind me of this. Would you say, Pastor Dan, there's so much more. Thank you for reminding me of that. Romans chapter number 5. We're going to take a look at verse number 9 through verse number 11. Look at what it says. Romans chapter 9, first two words, much more. Everybody say much more. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Remember, we talked about this word justification. It's just as if I'd never sinned. The gavel of heaven has come down and has declared us not guilty. And now, much more, we're saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, everybody say much more. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse number 11, and not only that, everybody say much more. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You know, when I read these verses, I almost get flashbacks of those commercials, those infomercials. Anybody remember ShamWow? Anybody remember that indestructible hose that they're rolling like semi-truck trailers over? And I mean, all these things, right? But there's always something in that the guy that's on there, you know, I think one of them's gone on to glory, I think, you know, but he passed away. But they've always got something extra. They've always got something more. But wait, there's more, right? If you buy now, if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you this, we'll give you that, we'll give you the other, free shipping and a zoo, you know, I don't know. Like, they throw in everything. And it's just amazing to me how the world understands that we enjoy more. And yet God is saying something to us through these verses. He says, you're saved, and you didn't deserve it, and now you're forgiven, and you're headed for heaven. But he says, guess what, guys? There's so much more. And why would we settle for less when God has more? It's almost like saying, all right, God, I want to be saved. And God says, all right, all you got to do is believe on my son, what he did for you on the cross. Lord, I believe, I receive. Thank you, God. Amen. All right, God, I'll see you later. And God says, but wait, there's more. There's more than just getting saved. See, your salvation was never meant to be the finish line. Your salvation was always meant to be the starting blocks. It's almost as if when you said amen, the gun went off, and now it's time to get going with the life that God has for you. What did Jesus say? He said, I have come not just to save people, but to give them life. And how? Life more abundantly. There's more. There's so much more. God wants us to live that life. See, what did he say in verse number 9? He said, you're saved from wrath. Not only are you justified, not only are you forgiven, not only has the gavel of heaven come down and declared you not guilty, but also you're saved from wrath. Let me illustrate this for you for a second. In 2004 in Iraq, there was a Marine corporal named Jason Dunham. He was doing routine checks on cars when suddenly a Toyota truck came up, white Toyota truck, rolled up, and as they checked the car, they realized that there was a lot of weapons that they weren't supposed to have in the truck. They asked the driver to come out of the vehicle, and as he stepped out, he started to run away. Corporal Dunham and some others pursued him. There was a scuffle that ensued, and while they were trying to arrest this man, he pulled out a grenade, pulled the pin, and dropped it on the ground in the middle of them. Thinking fast, Corporal Dunham took off his helmet, threw it on the grenade, and then put his body over his helmet and absorbed the entire blast, killing himself, but saving the whole platoon. In fact, posthumously, President Bush gave him the Medal of Honor. And yet, there was someone else who was saved in that moment when Corporal Dunham jumped on that grenade, and that was his attacker. That was his enemy. Think about it for a second. He didn't just save his platoon. He saved the man that was trying to kill him. And in the same way, we need to understand that Jesus, when he went to the cross, didn't die for the people that he just loved. He died for the people that were his enemies. He took the bullet for us. He took the cross for us. He took the grenade for us. He took the electric chair for us. He was the one that died in our place. Not when we were righteous, no. When we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But not only that, there's so much more. You say, what more could there be? Well, how about this? You're saved from wrath. See, we don't understand what that really means because we know that the payment, the penalty for our sin was poured out on Jesus on the cross. The Bible says that he took the cup of God's wrath and he drank it down to its dregs. That's why when he was in the garden, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. What cup is he talking about? He's talking about the cup of the very wrath of God for our sin. He drank that cup on our behalf. But there's more. Because the book of Romans tells us now that wrath is being stored up for the ungodly. In fact, if you read in the book of Revelation, there's a day called the Day of Wrath. There are bowls called the bowls filled with God's wrath. The winepress of God's wrath is being pressed down. The grapes of wrath are pressed down, and they're caught in bowls. And as those bowls are poured out on the earth, the wrath of God comes upon the planet. And I remember reading these verses, thinking about the end times, and saying, hey, God, could you just postpone that just a little bit? Because I don't want to be here when all that happens. Anybody know what I'm talking about, right? It can be fearful when you read that stuff. I'm just like, nah, you know what I mean? Like, let me live a good life. Let me have my kids and my grandkids and just kind of do our thing. And God, later on when the end times, special forces guys show up on the church scene, that they can handle that. But I had to grow up. And I had to realize some things. That number one, that guess what? Now I'm safe from wrath. See, when you're judged, you're no longer to be judged according to your sin. And that's good news for all of us. But you will be judged according to your works. What does that mean? That means that the things that you do in the body, whether good or evil, that they're going to go before the Lord, and the fire of God's presence will test the works to see what they are. And either they're going to come out shining like gold, silver, and precious stones. The things that you do, your faith, right? The good things, the people that you bring along with you that you get saved along the way, the good words that you speak, all those things will go before you into heaven. And when they're tested, they'll come out shining on the other side. But then there's wood, hay, and stubble. There's idle words, idle chatter. There's things that we do, things that we mess around with, things that are maybe good but not God. And those things, as they're tested by the Lord, guess what happens? They burn up their wood, hay, and stubble. And therefore, we'll suffer loss. There's going to be some people that are Christians that get saved. They're going to get to go to heaven. But when their works go before the Lord, the Bible says that they will be completely burned up and they'll come out smelling like smoke. I don't want that to be me, and I don't want that to be you. And that's why it's important that we understand the life that we're living. See, we're saved from wrath, but God also wants to save us from ruin. And that's where God says, I need you to get a hold of this. I need you to understand this. Let's take a look at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Turn there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. If you're interested in the end times, but maybe it's a little bit confusing, that's okay. It is a little bit confusing. Maybe you've looked online and you've seen people with timelines and charts and graphs and, even some people put dates on things. I think that's a bit foolish because the Bible tells us no man knows the day or the hour. We do know the times and the seasons. We know that it's coming soon. Jesus will return. But no one can say, hey, March 8th of 2028, Jesus is coming back. No, that is a false prophet, all right? Don't follow them. Don't be fooled. We know the times and the seasons. It's coming soon. We know the man of lawlessness will be revealed, the Antichrist. There's already many Antichrists on the earth. But we don't know the exact day and the exact hour that's coming. That's why we've got to be, listen to this, ready. We've got to be ready. You say, ready for what? Ready for all hell to break loose on the earth? Ready for tribulation? See, we're saved from God's wrath, but we're not necessarily strayed from tribulation. We're going to go through some things on this earth, and that's okay. You've got the power of God to go through it. You don't have to be afraid. Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 9. For God did not appoint us, look at this, to wrath. You're not appointed to wrath. That should put a smile on your face. Because even if you're here when the bowls of God's wrath are poured out on the earth, guess what? God knows how to keep his people in a time of trouble. And therefore, just like Noah and his sons and their wives on the ark, God can keep you through that moment. God can keep you through that trial. Is that the rapture? Maybe. Maybe we're not going to be here when the bowls of wrath are poured out. It could be that that's when it's going to take place. I don't know. But what I do know is that I'm not appointed to wrath. Now, no matter what happens, God is going to keep me in his hand because no one can snatch me from his hand. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain what? Salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can be safe through it all. And that means when it comes to our lives, we understand that for our sin, that sin has been dealt with. The wrath of God for our sin has been poured out on Jesus on the cross. And we no longer live in condemnation for the bad that we've done and for the sinful acts. But in saying that, I also need to say, don't live for your sinful pleasures. It's time to leave those things behind. There is more to this life. Everybody say, there's more. There's more than your sinful pleasures. There's more than just pleasing your flesh. There's more than just comforting your mind. I understand there are things that we say, I just can't take it. I just need a drink. I just need to smoke. I just need to do me right now. I need that relationship, or I need to jump in bed because it feels good. But listen, God is saying there's more to life than your flesh, than your mind being placated, than your sinful pleasures. There is so much more. Because we're not only saved from his wrath, but we're saved from our ruin. We are now reconciled. What does that word reconciled mean? It means that we're no longer at odds with God. There was a war and we were enemies with God, but now that Jesus has jumped on the grenade, now that Jesus has gone to the cross, guess what happens? We now become a part of the family of God. And with family becomes friendship. Now we can have a real relationship, a right relationship with God. And because Jesus loves us, he lives for us. And he makes intercession for us. What does that mean? You ever thought about what Jesus is doing right now? I mean, like, right now. Like right now, right now. You ever thought about that? What is Jesus? I mean, I know he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's seated at the right hand of God. So is he just stoically sitting there on a cloud, like with some angels strumming? Maybe David's over there, you know, and he's got like a harp, and he's just playing harp music all day long, right? That would drive me crazy after a while. I'd be like, can we please stop with the harps, you know? Maybe they're peeling grapes from him and popping them in. Somebody's got a big palm. Is that what Jesus is doing? He's just sitting on a cloud? See, no, he's your high priest. What does that mean? It means he has a ministry that he continues to do. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. What does that mean? He's the go-between. He intercedes on our behalf. What does that practically look like? Jesus is praying for you. Wow. He's praying for you. Say, what do you mean he's praying for me? Well, when the devil's trying to attack you, Father, protect them. Take care of them, God. Would you get them out of that situation, Lord? Would you help them? When temptations arise up from your flesh, God, you know their propensity for sin. God, would you strengthen them by the power of your Holy Spirit? Remind them of your word. Send the Spirit. Send angels, God, to minister on their behalf. When you start to pray, you know that your prayers are made acceptable to God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been given access to God. How? By Jesus Christ. He is the head. You're the body. Now you can come into the presence of God because you are robed with his righteousness. You are clothed with Christ. That means that when you pray, Jesus takes your prayers before the Father like incense, wafting up before the very throne room of grace. He's saying, God, listen to their prayers. God, answer. God, move. God, act. Jesus is praying for his people. He's interceding on your behalf. So that means we can leave our life of sin and live in the light of the Savior. He doesn't want your ruin, not from the devil and not from yourself. See, you're saved by his life. That's what we see in verse number 10. Not only are we saved from wrath, but we're saved by his life. See, now most of us would raise a question. Hey, Pastor, I got a question. Okay, here, don't you mean we're saved by his death? Well, yes, I get what you mean by that. I understand what you're saying. But really, his death satisfied the righteous requirements of God's laws, his perfect law. He fulfilled the law completely on our behalf. And his death secured our pardon. We are now forgiven because of the death of Jesus, but you're saved by his life. Because think about this for a second. Dead men tell no tales. Come on, somebody. You knew I had to go there. Dead men can't do anything, right? Can a dead man pick you up? Can a dead man throw you over his shoulder and walk you anywhere? Can a dead man tell you anything? No, they can't do anything, right? See, it's the death of Jesus Christ that secured our pardon, our forgiveness, but it's the life of Jesus Christ that now saves us. See, if Jesus is still dead and in the grave, then we're the most hopeless, pitiful of all people. But the fact that Jesus raised again to life means that death no longer has a hold on him, and now he can save you, he can save me, he can deliver us, he can restore us, he can heal us, he can move us, he can speak to us. Come on, Jesus, his life saves you. That's what we're talking about today. It's an amazing understanding because there's more. See, salvation goes beyond just forgiveness of sins and avoiding spiritual death. It reaches into every area of our life. In fact, in the original language, the Greek, this word saved is the word sozo. It's a phenomenal word from the scriptures. Now, it does mean to save in the sense that we're talking about, okay? But also it means to heal. Isn't that an interesting word? It means to cure. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. Here she is, and she says, if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be made well. So what does she do? She pushes through the crowd, and she makes her way up, and she touches the hem of his garment. As she reaches out and touches somebody, all of a sudden what happens? Power comes out of Jesus, and it goes into her physical body, and she feels the source of her blood healed, cured. For 12 years, she spent all that she had on doctors, got no headway. But all of a sudden, when she touches Jesus, power goes out, and she's completely healed, and she says, thank you, and she starts to tiptoe away, and Jesus says, hold up, everybody. Somebody touched me. And the disciples are like, Jesus, what are you talking about? Somebody touched you. Everybody's touching you. He said, no. Power just went out. What happened? The Bible says the woman came trembling. It was me. And she told him her whole story. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you. You say, well, but really the word is sozo. Your faith has made you safe. Your faith has made you healed. Your faith has made you cured. Your faith has preserved. I love this definition, preserved. See, sometimes people are afraid they're going to lose their salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. There is apostasy. You can reject the sacrifice of Jesus Christ after you have tasted the heavenly gift, the book of Hebrews says, and you can walk away from God and utterly forsake him. And there's no other sacrifice waiting for you. That's a dangerous place to be. Because the Bible says once you've come to repentance, Jesus isn't going back to the cross to bring you to repentance again if you reject that sacrifice. That is the unpardonable sin. You understand what I'm saying? But if you're following God and you mess up, you haven't lost your salvation. Somebody ought to say, thank God. Right? You can come to him and repent and forget it. Remember, you're not being judged for your sin. That's already been judged on Jesus on the cross. But your works, you'll be judged for your works. So that's where we keep ourselves in the love of God. That's where we keep following Jesus. But the Bible says that God knows how to preserve those that are his. He can keep you through the day of trouble. Why? Because his life saves you. A dead man can't save you from what's going to come on the earth. But Jesus, because he's alive, he can save you. He can preserve you. He can keep you safe and sound. He can rescue you from danger and destruction. And he can deliver. You know, a dead man's not going to help you with your alcohol addiction. A dead man's not going to help you with your pornography addiction. A dead man can't talk to you about how to treat your wife or how to raise your kids or how to be good to your boss. A dead man can't do any of that. But Jesus, because he's alive and he's alive on the inside of you, guess what? He can do all those things. And when you're saved, that's what comes into your life. Is all of those wonderful things, save, heal, cure, preserve, keep safe, sound, rescue from danger and destruction. Earlier this year, there was a man by the name of James Harrison. He's an Australian. He was known as the man with the golden arm. He passed away in February of this year. During his lifetime, the reason why he was called the man with the golden arm is because he gave blood 1,173 times from the age of 18 to the age of 81. His blood, and specifically his platelets, contained antibodies to what's called RH. Some of you ladies know what that is. Some of you gentlemen know what that is, too. Some of you guys know it as Rhesus disease. But really, the RH factor in your blood can cause a woman's blood to attack her baby in the womb, and the baby can be stillborn. Okay? It can actually cause death in the womb. But because this man had antibodies in his blood, they found that out, and they asked him, will you donate to save lives? And he said, absolutely. So he started to donate at age 18, and all the way till the time he was 81, he gave blood over 1,000 times. It's estimated that in his lifetime, that his blood donations, while he lived, saved an estimated 2.2 million babies. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, here's the thought. He died earlier this year. His blood is no longer bringing life to others. But Jesus, even though he died, now he lives forever. And because Jesus lives forever and he ever lives to make intercession, what does Jesus do? Jesus is giving life away. Today, Jesus is saving. Today, Jesus is healing. Today, Jesus is rescuing. Today, Jesus is restoring. Today, Jesus is keeping people. He's preserving people. He's keeping them safe. Today, Jesus is delivering his people. Why? Because he lives. What did John 14, 19 say? Because I live, you will live also. Because he lives. I'm so sorry. I won't do that again. I apologize. I'm not going to break out into song one more time in this church service unless I want to. Praise the Lord. See, because he lives, we live. And because we now have the life of God, we have a life to give away. Winston Churchill said this. He said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Oh, you don't like Winston Churchill? Okay, how about in 2019, the remake of The Lion King, Mufasa, in his James Earl Jones deep voice said, some search only for what they can take, but a true king searches for what he can give. That's what this is all about. See, our life is not to be consumeristic Christians that just, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. Come on, worship team, go ahead and worship for me. I want the Holy Ghost goosebumps. Come on, sing it, Tiva. Sing it. Come on, Chris. Play those keys. Come on, give it to me. I want to feel it. Would you just go ahead and worship real hard so that I can experience something right now rather than pressing to God and giving God all of our worship? Come on, somebody else giving the offering. Somebody else tithe. Somebody else giving the miracle offering because I want them to put in a sports field. I want them to put buses out there. I want them to have a better school. Someone else needs to give. I'm not going to give. You don't know my bills. The rich people can give, not me. I've got bills. I got kids to raise. Someone else can give. So, Pastor, you better preach. Pastor, I hope you've been studied up. Pastor, I hope that you've got some jokes today. Pastor, I hope you got some inspirational stories. I hope that, Pastor, you can preach so hard and spit so hard and have veins popping out of your neck and out of your head that if I pressed on them, you might pass out. But, Pastor, you better bring it because I need you to do so. Rather than pressing into God, God, I'm going to open my Bible and listen to your word. God, when that preacher gets up there, I know it's not him. God, I'm listening for your voice. God, what can I do? Who can I tell? Who can I bless? God, I want to be used by you. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Got a whole lot of consumer Christians. Give me, give me, give me. God says, I've given you everything. He didn't even withhold his son. The Bible says, will he not give his spirit without measure? God's not holding back what you need. He has everything. And you're in covenant with him, which means that whatever he has, you have. You have everything. You have something to give others. Oh, Pastor, what do I got to give? How about some time? You got some time? I don't have any time. Yes, you do. Because I know you've been binge watching junk that you shouldn't be watching on Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Max, Disney Plus. I mean, come on, Paramount Plus. You got it all, Discovery Plus. But wait, there's so much more. You got time. How about you wake up a half an hour earlier and call somebody that's lonely? Just give them some time. Sometimes people don't need a lot. They just need, hey, I'm just checking up on you. How you doing? I'm good. Thank you for calling. See, you can change someone's life by being present. One time a person was going to a funeral and they said, I need some scriptures to tell everybody. And they said, no, you don't need scriptures. You just need to be there. Be present. There's a ministry of presence. Something about just being there. They're not going to remember every word you said, but they're going to remember that you were there. You have something to give. How about this? Give them some advice. Give them the word. You got the word, right? You got the Holy Spirit. Spirit can give you the words to say. If someone needs wisdom, if they need guidance, you've got it. You have the wisdom of God. You have the mind of Christ. It doesn't matter that you've never been in their situation, their shoes before. You can still say, hey, you know, I believe that God is speaking this to you. I got a scripture for you. Hey, let's open the word together. Let's find out what God has to say about that. Help people. Give them a hand. Be there for them. Help them mow their lawn. Help them paint their fence. Whatever it is, help them clean up. Help them with the things that they need of. Some people need discipleship. You can disciple somebody. We got discipleship materials. It's so easy. Hey, let's go through a page a day, and at the end of the week, we'll come back together and we'll talk about it. That's how simple it is. We made it so simple. We got it for you for free outside as you go through it. Might be goods or it might be the gospel. Don't withhold either. Give your life as Christ continues to give, because he's given you everything, and you have everything to give. Which brings us to the last thing for today, is that you're saved not only from wrath, you're saved by his life, but the last thing for us today is this, is that you're saved to rejoice. You know, there's too many people that call themselves Christian walking around like they've been sucking on lemons. Oh man, this government, I can't stand it. It's worse than the last government. I couldn't stand them. People are all messed up, all mad about everything that's going on. Man, I tell you, people are all bent out of shape about life. They're criticizing their neighbors, their parents, the officials, everything. And nothing's good. You see them online, they're criticizing and condemning everybody. Oh, this church leader and that person and my neighbor and all this kind of stuff. It's my husband's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my kids. They're crazy. And yet God says you have a reason to rejoice. You are saved. You're saved from wrath. You're saved by his life. You have everything. And because of that, we ought to rejoice. We ought to smile. We ought to celebrate. We ought to laugh. My goodness, when's the last time you had one of those good belly laughs? You know what I'm talking about? The ones where, like, you feel a little undignified and make people nervous around you. I love when people laugh. I love certain people's laughs when they laugh, because it makes you laugh. It's contagious. Enthusiasm is infectious. And when you've got the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, guess what? It helps you to make it through these dark times and this dreary life. Because Disneyland, they might say that they're the happiest place on earth, and I can see why, because they've manufactured experiences that you can do over and over again. You can ride that ride again. You can stand in that line again. You can eat that churro again. You know what I'm saying? The turkey leg. Come on, somebody. And yet, they may have the happiest place on earth, but it's based on your circumstances, because the moment your kid poops in the middle of the line and you got to get out of line, you're not happy any longer. The moment you pay for lunch and you had to take out a second on your house to pay for lunch, come on, you're not happy anymore. But when you've got Jesus, it's not based on your circumstances, your bank account. It's not based on what the kids do, your spouse does. It's not based on the Democrats, the Republicans, or the pedestrian. No, it's based on the fact that my King lives and that he loves me and he's given his life to me. That's the joy that we carry. There's a man by the name of Hayden Carlo. He's pulled over in Plano, Texas for an expired registration sticker. He told the officer, there's no excuse. I just didn't have the money for it. It was either pay my registration or feed my kids. The officer did something. What do you think he did? Gave him a citation. That's the right thing to do, right? You break the law, you get a citation. Okay, here you go. So he gave him a ticket, right? Gave him a citation. But wait, there's more. As Hayden opened up the citation, inside of that ticket was a $100 bill. Shocked him. Didn't expect that. He took that $100 bill and he paid for his registration for his car, but he also paid for the registration on his wife's car. Now, I know exactly what you're thinking, because I can feel you. Remember, he lives in Plano, Texas, not San Bernardino, California. It's different over there, y'all. I can't even pay my own registration, let alone my wife's registration, with a $100 bill. But in Texas, apparently, he paid for his registration and his wife's registration. Now he's driving to a new job, making good money, taking care of his growing family. But the story got out, and somebody picked it up and brought it to CBS News. And he told CBS News, he said, he helped me out when I needed it, and I appreciate that. I'll never forget that, man. But then he ended with this, and I want you to just zero in on what he says. He says, it definitely restored my faith in, not the police. It definitely restored my faith in, not mankind. It definitely restored my faith in God. When you start to get a hold of more, When you realize that salvation is just the starting point, that it's not the finished life, when you realize that God has more for your life, God has more for your family, God has more for your future, when you recognize and realize that God, yes, the ticket came out and Jesus paid it all, but guess what? That's just the start, because God has a world of faith that's open and available to you. Now you can experience God in a greater way, and you've got something to tell. You've got a story to tell. You have a testimony of the goodness of God in your life. God wants us to be a church that brags on him. Do you know that another way to say rejoice? It could be translated boast. Now we boast in Christ. What does that mean? That we're not bragging on ourselves or our accomplishments, but I'm bragging on my Jesus. I'm going to tell everyone I can, because my God is not like the gods of this world. He has eyes that actually see. He has a mouth that actually speaks. He's not dead. He's not in a grave. He's alive, and he can take care of the things that concern me. I was reminded of a story last year when Pastor Antonio and Pastor Paul and I went to a pastor's gathering out in Los Angeles area, and we went, walked down the street to get some lunch at the lunch break, standing in line at a place, and guy walked up behind us and he asked us, is the line moving fast? And we're like, we just got here, we don't really know, you know, and so we're standing there in line. We struck up conversation, started talking to him, asking him what he's doing in the area, and he's, you know, do you live around here? No, I'm just passing through, and he's coming from another area of California, and we asked him, why are you here? And he said, well, I'm at an agricultural conference. And we're like, oh, that's cool. And he goes, what are you guys doing here? We're at a pastor's conference. Now, you guys probably don't know this, but the moment we mention that we're pastors, people change. I've been at parties and, you know, people are having a good time with a beer in their hand and they're just cussing up a storm. And the moment hey, what do you do? You know, I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh, you know, pastor, I got to tell you, I haven't been going to church that long, but, you know, I'm trying. And I'm like, am I wearing a collar that they need to do confessional right now? Like, get your beer, dude. Finish it. I'm not religious. I'm not going to drink one, but you go ahead. Just don't get drunk, man. You know, like, come on. But here he is, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, there's a lot of hypocrisy in church. And we said, yeah, we've seen it. But then he moved from that to like, oh, but I'm just a sinner. You guys wouldn't want to know what I did. And we're like, you're not too far gone from God. Just come on, man, just hang out. So I talked to him. He's got a tattoo. I thought it was a devil. He goes, you know, this is not a devil. It's a kabuki mask. My strict Catholic mother just always tells me I'm wearing a devil. It's not a devil. It's a kabuki mask. I'm like, oh, okay, kabuki devil. All right. We got to the front of the line, and it would have been great if that was the story, but there's more. He's at the front of the line. I said, hey, bro, tell him what you want. It's on me. No, no, no. You don't have to buy my lunch. No, man, I want to. Come on. Go ahead. I got this. Why don't you get that? Got the sampler platter, right? Because I want my one shot at this place. I want to try it all, you know. Get the sampler. Come on, man. Go ahead. And he gets up there, you know, starts speaking Spanish to the guys in the back. I'm like, that's it. Do one for me, too, in that, you know, like whatever. Get a drink, bro. What do you want? Go get a drink. Really? Yeah, go get it on the fridge. Come on, put it up here. Hurry up, because I'm going to pay. Right? Get two. Go for it. Comes and we said, hey, come sit with us. We all sit down. We prayed. He watched. Had a good time. Talked to him. Listen, we started bragging on our Jesus. Started just sharing the love of God. We listened even when we didn't agree. We asked him if we could pray for him. At the end of it, we prayed for him. I think Pastor Antonio was the one that actually had the privilege of putting his hand on his shoulder and speaking the word of God over his life. Believing God for him and his girlfriend. For his business and for his future. He didn't pray the sinner's prayer. He didn't get saved and go to church. We didn't stay in touch. But at the end of it all, what did? We bragged on Jesus. We told him, listen, there's more. There's more to life. You have a story to tell. You have a life that you're living that impacts the people around you. God wants to use you as the full-time minister. I thought you were the full-time minister, Pastor. No, 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 you. I'm here to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. I'm the cheerleader. I'm the instructor. I'm the one that comes and builds you up, bumps you up, so that you can go out there and you can tell a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ, because there's so much more that they don't even know. You're saved from wrath. You're saved by his life. You're saved to rejoice and to boast in him. So church, live it out and give it out. There is so much more. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we go before the Lord together in prayer? I'm going to ask no one leave during this time. Come on, let's take a couple more moments in the presence of God. And just pray this prayer with me. Would you just ask the Holy Spirit, say, God, what are you speaking to me? And then just listen for his voice, because there's more. God may have spoken to you in the message, but I believe there's more right now that God wants to speak to your heart. God, what are you speaking to me? As God is speaking to you, make sure to write it down. It might be a scripture. It might be a statement. Give attention to what God has given you. Maybe today God's melting fear off of you. Maybe you were like me and were looking at the end times going, I don't get it, but I don't want to be here for it. And God is encouraging you. No matter what happens, you're safe from wrath. Might also be talking about things that might ruin you, though. Things that might take you away from his presence and his power. Things that would burn up. What's God speaking to you? Maybe today God has given you some people that he wants you to give life to. Whether it's to boast in Christ and give him the gospel, or maybe it's to give him some help. Your presence, your wisdom, your encouragement, maybe even your goods. That's okay. You have everything. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for saving us, God, but we thank you for so much more, for the life that we get to live because of what you've given to us. What you purchased on the cross, what you opened for in your life. God, may we live that abundant life that you came to give us each and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. We're all in agreement and we say, amen, amen. Can you give the Lord one more great big praise? Hallelujah. Hey, before we dismiss today, I want to make sure that your heart and your life is right with God. Some of you guys haven't even heard the gun go off yet. Some of you guys haven't even made it to the point of salvation. You say, Pastor, I'm in church. You know that church doesn't get you into heaven? I know. Church is where we meet up with God. Church is where we have an encounter with God. Church is where we hear from God, all that kind of stuff. And yet, you don't get saved just because you came to church. I wish that's all it took, because I'd pay people to come and sit in church. But it's more than that. It's not just sitting in a seat in a sanctuary, warming up a spot. It's like me going to my garage saying, I'm a car. No, I'm not a car because I sit in my garage. Same way, you're not a Christian just because you sit in a church service or watch one online, for that matter. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I've been a good person, done a lot of good deeds. God's going to let me into heaven because I've been good. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible says you can be good enough to earn your way into heaven? There's no good deed, no list, no line or curve that you have to be above in order to earn your way into heaven. It's just not going to make it. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good. Sometimes people say, but Pastor, I was raised in church. My parents told me and my siblings we were Christians growing up. Maybe they hung a cross or St. Christopher on your neck. Had you baptized or christened as a child? You went to religious classes like Sunday school, Sabbath school, catechism class. Born in America, America's a Christian nation. Everybody born in America is going to heaven. We're not any other religions. We're not Buddhists. We're not Muslims. We're not Hindus. We're Christians, right? Wrong. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because of your family association, your location, the jewelry you wear, the classes you take, the religious rituals you're involved in, none of that will get you into heaven. It's not going to make it. There's no default setting because you're not some other religion that by default you get lumped in the category of being a Christian. You get to head for heaven and deny hell. Oh, but Pastor, it wasn't just a childish thing for me. In my last church as an adult, I helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader. Even got a membership card to that church, taught in the Bible classes. Those are all wonderful things to do. None of them will get into heaven. In fact, Jesus is talking about the end times and he says that there's a group of people that come to him and they say, we're ready to go into heaven. And he's like, away from me. I never knew you. And they say, but wait, didn't we prophesy in your name? How many of us have done that? Didn't we do miracles in your name? How many of us have done that? And he says, away from me, I never knew you. Something was wrong in their lives. Something was off in their hearts. And it wasn't just because of what they did in church. You could get involved. You could have a membership card. God is not looking for your membership card to a church before you can enter the gates of heaven. That's not going to make it. And today, let me love you enough, respect you enough, and honor you enough to tell you the truth and not play games. You're not going to make it. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, but maybe you don't get it. I know God. I know about Jesus. Know about Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs of Christmas every year of my life. I've got scriptures memorized, Old and New Testament. Yeah? Well, so does the devil. You find the devil quoting scriptures in the Gospels. That's like the craziest thing you ever thought of in your life. I would have thought, probably you would have too, if the devil quoted a scripture, his face would melt off. It doesn't. He just keeps going. Just quotes the scripture, distorts it, and moves on. So that shows us it's not about what you have up here in your head. Look up here at me for a second. It's not about what you have up in your head. Even the demons believe and they tremble because they know they're not going to make it. It's not about having mental assent or acknowledgement towards God that gets you right with God. It's not about what you've done here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance, your involvement. That's not going to make it. It's only one way, and that's through your heart. God has always been after your heart all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. Jesus said it like this. He said, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Now, I know. Our society's raked that through the coals, but let's not let society, Hollywood, movies, television, books, and blogs on the internet define for us what being born again is. Let's let the Bible do that for us. Being born again, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, has always meant the same thing. Simply means this, that you surrender to God all of your heart and that you surrender to God all of your life. It's just that simple. It's all or nothing with Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation. We've been talking a lot about that today. Revelation. Jesus is speaking to a church just like he's speaking to us here in this church and online today. And he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, he says, I'll vomit you from my mouth. That's pretty gross. Pretty graphic words in the mouth of Jesus, wouldn't you say? But what is he saying? He's saying half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity. Shows me you can't be a little in, little out, little up, little down, little token prayer every now and again, occasional church attendance. God is just something in your life, but he's not everything. You're not opposed to God, but you're not wholehearted for God. Listen, there is no cultural Christianity that can save you. Many people are half-hearted about the things of God. Whatever. Yeah, I believe. And then they live like the devil and expect to go to heaven. That's not going to make it. It's not going to make it. Jesus said, I want you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit from my mouth. You know what he's saying? In or out. Make a decision. Either you are or you aren't. But you can't do both. Too many people want what the world has and want what God has. Want God to bless them in their sin. It's not going to work. You got to make a choice. Jesus said you have to leave all to follow him. Take up your cross. You know what that is? Die to yourself and live for him. Only through that you're going to get right with God. You will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God like we talked about. Saved from eternity in hell. Saved from your sinful position that you're in. You cannot save yourselves. So that people say, Pastor, let me clean up my act and then I'll come to God. No. You come to God and then I'll clean you up from the inside out. Pastor, don't worry about me. I got more time. No, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one breath away from eternity. By the way, Jesus could come back at any moment. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the times and the seasons. And he's coming soon. Pastor, don't bug me. I feel like you're pressuring me. I am. Why? Because I love you. And the devil's on the other side pressuring you just as hard not to do this. Don't listen to him. Listen to God today. Don't even listen to me. Listen, we're not going the world's way, not going my way. We're going God's way. You must be born again. In a moment, I'm going to give you that opportunity to be born again. Here's what it's going to look like. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear that sound of my hand pop on that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're making the statement that I want to be born again, head for heaven and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up, I'll count it, you can put it right back down. See, but Pastor, if I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than it is to end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? No one would make that trade. A moment of possible embarrassment for an eternity away from God? Come on. And yet the devil thinks you're a fool, so he's trying to talk you out of this right now. He's saying, sit there and do nothing. That pastor's a liar. No, the devil's a liar. Don't listen to him. Listen to God today. Tell that devil to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. You're going on with God. And even if you are embarrassed, it's better than ending up in hell. Listen, you're not getting another shot at this. You've got one life to live. You've got this moment guaranteed to you right now. Not coming back as a dog or a frog working your way up into a human. No. You've got this time. You've got this moment. It's appointed for man once to die amid the judgment. And so God is urging you right now through this vessel and saying, will you come? Will you give them all of your heart? Will you give them all of your life? Don't worry about what the person next to you is thinking. This is between you and God right here, right now. Will you surrender to him all of your heart? Will you surrender to him all of your life? Who should raise your hand if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure? Make sure today. Who should raise your hand if you've never done this before, never given God all of your heart and life, could have been in church all your life, but you never crossed that line? I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise their hand? Maybe lukewarm, maybe you're half-hearted, maybe you're backslid, and you need to make a fresh rededication to the Lord. You can do that in this time and in this moment. I'm going to count to three. Hands are already going up. Come on, let's do it all together on the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Thank you. There's one, two, three in the family rooms. I got you there. Four, five. Thank you. There's six right here. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Who else today? Up on top. There's seven, eight right there. Thank you. God bless you. Got you guys. There's eight wise people. Anyone else? Eight, nine over here. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Way up on top. Thank you. There's 10 up on top. Thank you. God bless you. I got you right there, right up front here. Oh, 11 and 12. Wonderful. Thanks for the help, guys. 12 wise people. If I saw your hand, you can put it down. But if I did not see your hand already, get that hand up real high. 13 up on top. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Just want to make sure. Just want to give you another moment, another opportunity. If I haven't already seen your hand, just get that hand up real high. You're pointing over this direction. Who else today? Need to give God all of your heart. Oh, yeah. Thank you for the wave. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. 14. God bless you. Anybody else? 15 up on the top there. Over on this side. Thank you. God bless you, number 15. Praise the Lord for you. Just want to make sure. Give you another moment. If your heart's beating out of your chest, you broke out in a sweat, and you wish I'd shut up, hey, I think God's trying to get your attention. Is there anybody else? Is anybody else? Just going to give you one more moment. Anybody else? Last call, we're going to wrap this thing up. There's 15 wise people. 16? Got you right there in the center. Yeah, fantastic. It's awesome. Big smile. I love it. I absolutely love it. Anybody else? We're rejoicing in Christ today. That's that joy we were talking about. Boasting in the Lord. God's doing something right now. Look at this. Anybody else? 16 wise people. Anybody else? Last call. We're going to wrap it up. Don't miss it. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a hand for about 16 wise people. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask once again, please respect what God is doing in this moment. No one leave during this time. Because I want to invite those of you that raised your hand, or maybe you should have raised your hand, but you didn't. I want to pray with you right here at the altar. You don't get saved by raising your hand. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So if you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, would you get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and just meet me up front, because we're going to pray together right here at the altar. Come on, let's welcome them, church. They're coming. They're coming. Just get out of your seat and come on up.
Come to the altar.
Come on, from the family rooms. You can bring your kids. They're welcome at this time. Bring them up.
Arms are open.
From the foyer, come into the church service. Front to back, left to right, wherever you're at in the sanctuary, just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Come on down.
Blood of Jesus Christ.
Come on, they're coming. They're coming. Come on, you can come too. This is your time. This is your moment. Come on down. Come on down. They're still coming. Come on, if you know God's moving you to come, just come. Just come.
Come to the altar.
Church, you have something to give right now. Nudge your neighbor and say, come on, friend, if you need to go, I'll go with you. Give them some encouragement. Come on, let's go. Let's do it. I'll go with you. Come on, bring them. Bring them. They're still coming. I got a big smile on my face because I just heard the Spirit of God whisper this to my soul. You know what he said. There's more. That excites me. Come on, if you know there's more, if you're that one, just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front. Come on, there's more. You need to come. There's more. Come on, this is the gun going off. God said, make that first step. This is the starting line of life. Come on. Come on right now. Come on down. Come on down.
Arms are open wide. Forgiveness is born with the precious blood of Jesus.
gonna go fishing. I believe that there's someone here that's hopeless. You don't even think God can take care of your issues. And the Holy Spirit is just locking up this whole thing. We should be dismissing right now. But I know the guy that's preaching in La Roca today. ¿Se habla español? You can come and hear me preach in español through my interpreter, Carlos. So he'll be okay, but you're not. And you know it. In the depths of your spirit, you know there's no hope. And God is saying, if you come to me, I'm the hope giver. Will you get out of your seat? Will you get in the aisle? And when you meet us up front right now, come on down. There's one. Hold on. Shh, 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 shh. I'm fishing. I know there's more. There's another one. Hopeless. Just whispers to me. You feel like you're a lost cause. That's different than hopeless. You're here because you know God is real. You know it's right. But you've been out there in the world doing your thing. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. I know it's not right. And God is calling you to repent today. And he's saying you're not a lost cause. You say, but I haven't been able to change all this time. And God says, you bring it to me, I'll change you from the inside out. You're not so far gone. You're not a lost cause. And you're here because you know in your heart of hearts that God is who he says he is. But you need to start with surrender. And so you need to get out of your seat. Come on, you feel like you're a lost cause. Just come on right now. Courageous enough to admit that's you. Just takes a step. Just get out of your seat. Come on. There's one. Cutest babies up here right now. I know some of you ladies will be pining. It's okay. It's okay. If you need to come, just come. Come on. Is there another one? Saying I felt like a lost cause. But God is saying you're not so far gone. You can come right now. There's two. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just the way that we're built. Women are very open and tender to the Spirit of God. But four ladies just came forward when I called those things out. And sometimes men need to be told not to be stupid, not to be proud. And you need a man to get in your face and tell you, hey, you're jacked up, and you're going to stay jacked up unless you surrender your heart to the Lord. You need to get out of your seat. You need to get in the aisle. And you need to meet me up front. And let's pray together. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. This is the last call. This is the last thing. All right? And then I'm going to wrap this up and we're going to pray. But you just know. That's me. Come on. Come on, bullheaded men that are saying, I'm all right, yep. I need to surrender to Jesus. Come on. Is there anybody else? Just get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet us up front. This is the last call. I can't make you come. Hey, everybody up front, put a big smile on your face. This is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. Can we celebrate? Hallelujah. Right now, God's going to come in and change everything. You're going from hopeless to hope, going from lost cause to found. God is going to take you. Do amazing things. This is the starting point. There's so much more that's ahead of you than is behind you. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart and be born again. Everybody's going to join in together with you, even online. If you're praying this prayer with us, I want you to say these words out loud together with us. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. And everybody say this together to encourage our new brothers and sisters. Say, Father God, I come to you today in Jesus' name to give you all of my heart and all of my life. Please come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past. And give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son. That he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying you. I'm following you for the rest of my days into eternity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. When I got saved, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I needed some help. I had some friends that came alongside me, prayed with me, encouraged me, talked to me about some things through the Bible, answered questions, that sort of a thing. And so my friend, Pastor Joel over here, this is a really good guy. Nothing weird's going to go on. He wants to take you right over there, give you some free stuff, some free literature, find out what just happened and what to do next in your walk with God, introduce you to some friends. We got some great people here who would love to come alongside you and walk with you through what's ahead of you because there is so much more. And then a couple minutes, he'll let you go. Friends and family will wait for you. If your children are in the children's ministry, they're safe, okay? Make a left turn. Follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go. Come on, church, let's celebrate today. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, family, thank you for letting me take 10 minutes and win souls. I appreciate you guys being soul winners. That goes to your account in heaven, not just me. I may be the mouthpiece, but guess what? You guys praying, believing God, bringing people to church, and staying. That goes to your account. And so I'm grateful to be in ministry with you guys. Hey, tonight, 6 p.m., different music, different message, another opportunity to grow in the things of God. And then we have Connect Night right afterwards, okay? So if you say, I don't got no friends at The Rock, here's the reason why, because you haven't been to Connect Night. Come and join us. Come hang out with us, all right? You'll make some friends, some good people, have a fun time, and God's going to do some great things in your life. Also, if you want prayer for the Holy Spirit, Matt, are you guys doing this? All right, this is Matt and Kathy. They're over here. You guys can just head up right after we dismiss, and they'll take you right up to the chapel, and they will pray with you. You're going to get the power of God in your life. Let me pray for you. Let me bless you. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.